Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Milazzo. Cambridge 105
Radio. Just after 8:30, and it's time for a regular Monday morning chat with Phil Rogers, who's been looking over the numbers of COVID infections across the city. Morning to you, Phil.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Right, okay. So overall, what's happening? Any sort of trends up or down over the past 7 days?
Well, it's been a fairly good week, actually, for Cambridge in the statistics. We've seen cases coming down across most of the city. So last week we had a bit of a spike in Abbey Ward. That has faded away. But the one spot where things haven't been so good is Trumpington, and we've seen a bit of a rise there.
So what are the characteristics about Trumpington? Is there any reason as to why they might have increased? Of course, we've had the schools going back in the last fortnight or so. So is that beginning to creep in at all and have any impact?
That could be a factor, and sometimes when you get larger households that have that get a lot of cases, that can push the numbers up a little bit. We actually, the picture with schools isn't too bad at the moment. Cases have gone up a bit for the under 15s, but not all that much, and pretty much every other age group they've been falling, including the older teenagers.
I'm trying to work out as to why that would be, because there was all the speculation, because, of course, in Scotland, where schools go back just a little bit early, they've had quite a rise in cases, and that, for whatever reason, that doesn't seem to be the case in the UK, and certainly not in Cambridge, from the figures that you have.
That's right. I mean, I guess we have got that much more immunity in the population now, because the vaccine programme has got that bit further, though of course that isn't affecting people in schools necessarily. I think people are now possibly being vaccinated over 12, but it'll take a while for that to kick in. So it is a little bit surprising, certainly compared to what we saw in Scotland, where there was quite a dramatic rise, and they went back that bit early. But we'll have to see how things develop. It's still fairly early in the term. Maybe things will take a turn in a different direction, but at the moment it's reasonably good news.
Interesting. That's the schools. Of course, the student population of Cambridge, might that change things? Because they're not fully back yet, are they?
That's right, yes. The University of Cambridge term starts early in October, so they'll be sort of arriving in their thousands, descending on the city, being dropped off as we've got used to every year. So it'll certainly be interesting to see what happens then. And there's going to be, a lot less social distancing this year than there was last year, when there was obviously more lockdown going on.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we do have more vaccination among the student population.
Exactly. Yeah. I was thinking about that. Like you say, the social distancing that the universities at least did put in place last year must have done a lot to help the numbers, but that won't be the focus so much this year. They've also got a lot of overseas students, don't they? Do we know what the rules are for the overseas students coming into Cambridge, at least, or, you know, to the UK really, to study?
Well, it'll depend where they're coming from, and they'll go through the same traffic light process as everybody else. So if they're coming from red list countries, then I guess it's the full sort of hotel based isolation, and for other countries it's just testing. But the university also has a really good testing program that they were running last year, and that's going to be continuing, as I understand it.
Right.
And the way that works is they test large numbers of students in sort of household groups, and then they pool all those tests together. And they just have to test that pooled thing once. And if there's any positive result from that, then they go back and test people individually. So they can actually get a lot of coverage across the whole university population very efficiently.
Excellent.
So that really helped last year.
I gather the percentage of positive tests in Cambridge has gone down. What would be the reason for that? Because one might assume that there are more tests taking place at the moment, and actually there's I know a few people have had sniffles, including one person I know who basically potential COVID case, and it turned out just to be a cold.
Yes, I mean, we will, I guess, start seeing a bit more seasonal colds going around, and that's going to worry people, and that may lead to a rise in testing as well. So positive tests are now down to only about 3.3%, which is like half what it was a month ago. So we've really seen a good fall, and that's quite encouraging too. The one sort of slightly less encouraging sign is that we have seen cases at Addenbrookes go up slightly in the last week. But that may just be sort of reflecting what was happening a couple of weeks ago with cases in general. So hopefully we'll see that going back down. And it's fallen at Addenbrookes for about 4 weeks, but it's gone up in the last week a little bit, but it's only kind of gone back a week or so. So if things go well, we should see that turning down again.
So still kind of heading in the right direction there. Something I wanted to ask you, Phil, because it's been bugging me for a while. We often read in our news bulletins this figure of the rate per 100,000 people, which I see at the moment for Cambridge is 209 or 209.5. And how is that actually calculated? You know, do people, new infections are obviously added to it, but over what period of time do the earlier infections drop off?
Well, this is a little bit complicated. So we have a bit more than 100,000 people in Cambridge, so that the number of cases in the last 7 day period was 262. So per 100,000, that comes down to, I think you said, 209. And that's simply just the total number of positive tests in a 7 day window. So they don't kind of go back to people to see if they're still infectious. They just sort of say, well, let's count 7 days, because that eliminates effects from more people being tested during the week and less at the weekends and so forth. So it all sort of evens out. So and also the other thing with that number is it does run 5 days behind, because it's based on the day the test was actually taken, and it takes a while for all the results for a particular day to come back. So the current number actually covers the 8th to the 14th of September, and then the next day's number will cover the 9th to the 15th and so on, and it just sort of trundles along.
So there is a bit of a lag time, because one might imagine that, you know, because of the way, unless you get pinged or perhaps are living in a household where somebody has already contracted COVID, you'd be a sensible thing to obviously get a test done at that point. But if you've just caught it simply by, I don't know, standing in the wrong place, then if that's the case, then you might already be infectious when you're getting your test.
Yes, that's right. They reckon that you're typically infectious about 2 days before symptoms first appear. And obviously some people never get symptoms but are still infectious. So it's definitely worth getting tested if you suspect you may have been exposed.
No, absolutely. Well, Phil, thank you very much, as always, for your time this morning. We will speak again 7 days from now. That's Phil Rogers, and it's now 8:38.
We're live and local.
Across the day. 105 Cambridge.